stand?
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's really kind of confusing with all the flags waving.
I know.
Okay. There was no action taken in closed session, and our representative to the board, hi.
So, Charter Academy for the Arts. The beginning drama production of Alice in Wonderland was a great success this past weekend. And once again, MCAA was chosen by U.S. News and World Reports magazine as one of the best schools in America. State testing began April 25th and will continue for the next 3 weeks. And then the French class is holding a French night on Friday, May 6th. Prom is the day right after, May 7th, and will take place at the Laughing Lotus venue in downtown Marysville from 8 to 11 p.m. And then there is a dance recital on Friday, May 13th at 6:30 in the auditorium. Music Week, which begins Monday, May 16th and through May 19th, will be filled with performances from strings, band, vocal tech, choir, guitar, and keyboards. There will be a SWAT students who are there dance on Friday, May 20th. The senior breakfast will be on Thursday, May 26th at the Alan Scott Youth Center. Finals begin on Friday, May 27th. And this past, last weekend, the choir and string students brought home trophies from Great America Music in the Parts event. Band won first place in the category of good, and then the women's choir won first place in the category of excellent.
Well, before we leave this, I think it's important to note that Michelle is the girl Yuba Sutter Youth of the Year for our area. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That'll get you a cup of coffee if you have a dollar.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Gotta go to McDonald's for that. Okay, that brings us to school report, Community Day School.
Good evening. My name is Gary Rogers, principal of Marysville Community Day School and Independent Study. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and spend about 30 minutes because I had to beat Rob's record on speaking tonight. So, I'm just kidding. But I'd like to thank my staff. I have Ms. Jew Tower, secretary in the back, and Melanie Entner, one of my special ed teachers. So I'm glad they could make it. I only bribed them with pizza so they could make it here tonight. Everybody else just went home, I guess. But anyway, all of you have had the opportunity, I'm sure, to read my board report from your community day school and what we've been up to this year as far as creating a new program. Obviously, the bumps and bruises that come along with trying to build an airplane as we're flying it, so to speak. Despite these challenges, we've helped quite a few students, and I'll spare you with all the numbers and stuff, but more importantly, what I'd like to do is we've created a video that kind of shows what we've been up to and also kind of brings a more personal aspect to this report. So it's about 30 minutes long. No, I'm just kidding. It's about 5 minutes long, so if you have questions after that, I'll be happy to answer this. So we're going to hope the technology works, because I know it was earlier, so here we go.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, 'cause
oh, baby.
CDS because of my bad grades, and the reason why I got bad grades was because I didn't do any of my work. CDS helped, and how it helped me was because it made me prepare to go into another school, and I also learned how to do math correctly.
I'm at CDS because I did it from my 8th grade. I learned that it's not too late to start all over. I think my maturity's changed, and I'm more responsible, and I grew more.
I got better grades, and I started actually doing my work because there's less kids at this school. I didn't want to go to my other school because it was difficult, so I came here so I could help on my work, I guess. It was easier because they weren't, like, they were teaching it. I don't know, it was just, they taught it to me better. They taught it to where I could understand it better.
I went to school because I need to stay out of trouble and make up credits, and be able to make up credits faster here. And I benefit from the school because it helps me stay on track and gives me something to do during the day.
I got expelled from Marysville High School. My benefits from this school has been getting extra credits that I need, and I'm in school from 9 to 4, so there's no.
I've benefited from being here by getting the credits I need and by being able to catch up with everyone else in the 9th grade.
I decided to make a dumb decision, and, well, I decided to not listen to anybody else and fight somebody for. It's benefited me a lot. The anger management that they're making me take is helping me way more than I thought it was going to. I mean, I've actually learned the strategies of what they asked me to do, and I've done them. So it's just been helping me out a lot more than I thought. And just my grades that I used to have just sucked. So now that I'm here, it's just been helping me out. I got all A's and B's now. I'm on the honor roll. I'm a level 4 student. Got the student of the month. I've never had that. So I mean, it just helps me out a lot.
I'm here because I'm an 8th grade non-promote from Eagle Gardens. While being here, I caught up with all my credits, brought all my grades up to A's and B's, and I'll be going into high school as a true sophomore.
Alrighty, I hope you guys enjoyed that little glimpse into our world over community school and independent study. And I will spare you another 20 minutes, but if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask, I'd be happy to answer those.
Gary, do you have the approximate numbers like in Community Day of how many 9th graders, 10th graders, 11th graders?
At the beginning of the year, we had about 20 ninth graders that came. It was optional last year, so we didn't get all the 8th grade non-promotes that came. We're projected next year to have probably around 50 or 60. That's what we're looking at.
Thank you.
On their, when they come to you, how deficient are they generally? Are they, how far behind?
It depends, but most of the kids, it's rare if I see one that's almost on track, honestly. Usually they're 20, 30 credits behind, even more sometimes. It, on independent study, even worse. I have kids that come to me needing 100 credits and they're, you know, a senior. And so it's sad because I know a lot of those kids from Yuba Gardens, and now I have them now and they're coming to me looking for help. And, you know, I got a big heart and I want to take them all, but sometimes it's just not a good fit. And we have so many students too, so it's sad. But normally, at least a semester or two behind, normally on average, is what I'm seeing.
Thank you very much, Garrett.
All righty, thank you guys very much.
Okay. comments from board members? Okay, Mr. Denable? Ms. Yang, would you have any comments? No. Mr. Crawford?
I've been in and out of town quite a bit the last few weeks, but that's all good news. My grandson was born, Dominic, with a full head of hair, more than mine, which isn't hard to do. He's now at home, probably begging mom for his hourly, which seems like hourly feeding. And they'll be relocating to Folsom as soon as he finishes his internship. So good news for me, and I just wanted to let everybody know.
Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
Just wanted to say I did have the opportunity to go out and see Alice in Wonderland on opening night, and it was wonderful. The kids did such a great job, and even more fantastic, it was standing room only on night one. So it was a very good performance, and a lot of people were able to come and see it.
Jim?
Well, excuse me. First, the CSBA Delegate Assembly, the mid-year, is going to be May 14th and 15th when all 270 delegates throughout the state are going to get together and hear the new legislation they're working on and what the goals are. We start at first when the districts meet for about 8 counties, and then we break into the general. So that'll be 14th and 15th. This Saturday, Thursday, South Yuba, the speaker is going to be Jolie Carrion for the district, talking about school safety and what she has done to keep our schools safe. I also got to watch a play at Lyndhurst High School called Midsummer Night's Dream, and I went the last night, and they had a good crowd. The kids enjoyed it, and it just reemphasized the reason that some of these electives, they teach kids that may not be good in one thing, but they do good in others. And then my above and beyond, I've seen the last 2 or 3 weeks. Number one was the nutrition department. They had a nutrition fair at Arboga. They had, I think, all but 3 of the cook managers were involved. I understand that Amber's department put this, and the principal let me know, they put all the schedules together. Kids were rotated through a variety of learning things and the importance of nutrition, which I believe in is 11 years ago, I was literally dying and had to change my nutrition and turned it all around. It's good education. The kids enjoyed it. They went through and they enjoyed the day. And at the end, we got to give away bicycles. I was lucky that I got to give away one bicycle. And I think, was there 3, Amber? 7. It was really something to see, and the kids really enjoyed it. Finally, the above and beyond in closed session, I gave you the history of the rodeo, just the last 10 years, what we have done. And when you have to look at it, you realize this is an amazing transportation department. When I started with this district many years ago, our first transportation director was Don McGilvery, and they hired him, I think, the reason that he had won the state rodeo out of San Juan, and he was our very first transportation director. And as I looked at these things, we had the first rodeo recently. The Northern California is going to be on the 7th, and the state final is going to be at the end of the month. But when you look at the things that I gave you, it's amazing to see how many times they won. And there's one period they had won 17 straight times in the state of California, from local, Northern California, and the state. And so under the leadership of Scott, who clears the way for these drivers to do this, Don Buer, who goes every rodeo, I've gone to most of them, and we have the distinction of having only district in the state that's had three board members go and judge. And you'll see that in the report that I gave you. Marysville is known as the premier place to work for and for transportation. And so that's above and beyond for those people that have gone and that have participated in the rodeo. And everybody knows about Marysville because of their driving skills. So that was my second above and beyond.
Mr. Harris?
I just have a couple of things. One is Catapult, the mechanism that notifies people of all emergencies. It's kind of scary sometimes when you first open it up to see what's happening, but it is so nice to know what's going on and get it right then and know what's happening in the district and not have someone ask you, did you hear about, and you can say, yes, I did, and everything is okay, we're doing what we have to do. But that for me is just, it's so new and so refreshing that we have that kind of contact with all of our staff, and you know, whether it's the board members or whether it's teachers or administrators, I just think that's fantastic. Second thing is, don't forget Mother's Day. Whether you're a mother or you have a mother, don't forget Mother's Day, people, okay?
I had a chance to go see the play, the MCAA play, too, on Sunday afternoon. It amazes me that they not only did they pull it off, but that many kids can be running up and down those stairs, and we didn't lose a single life, okay, because they were in motion the whole time. The search for talent was last Friday, and our district was really well represented. I think I know Kovalod, Linda, just about everybody, McKinney, there were kids from just about every place, and besides Wheatland, Yuba City, and that turned out really well, and our kids did really well at the search for talent. Anyway, I think that's about it. Okay, and opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Joint Unified Teachers Association. Not here. Operating Engineers Local Number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association for Management and Confidential Employees. And Supervisory Unit. So. And I have no comment, public comment cards, I think. No comment cards. So that brings us to Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Rex. I happen to notice that Mr. Sean is here, and this is the top item on my agenda to share with the board, that on Friday, the 29th, at 9 a.m., the Arbor Day replanting project at Marysville High School will be taking place. And so if you want to watch them planting 50 fruitless plum trees on the south side of 18th Street, come on over. Wear your work clothes. We'll put you to work planting, or you can just be an observer and enjoy the sight, because we're anxious to get those replanted. It's been a very inclusive process about which trees, and it's been an endeavor, but certainly I think come next spring we'll see the fruits of all the labor of deciding which trees will go best in which areas. So should be fun to watch. For some of you, this is old news. Well, all of you, it's old news. Some of you have, it'll be old news because you've already purchased your tickets, but I do have Dine Around Town tickets. We'll continue to have them until the last, well, the day before the last day of school to sell, and that's when we'll have our drawing, and that is our premier event for raising funds this year instead of us doing the dine around wine and dine at the lake. And then you all, I think, know that Monica Oakes is retiring. Her retirement party is going to be May 20th at Peachtree Golf and Country Club. I think Larry must have requested that, her husband requested that location. He's there so much golfing that it just works out well for them. But if you would like to attend, that is something that we'll be happy to make those arrangements. And if you'll just let me know if you'd like to go, it will be Friday, May 20th at Peachtree Golf and Country Club. So just let me know and we'll make sure you have a ticket. And that is all I have for this evening, Mr. Rex.
Gary, I want you to know that when I went to Long Beach, they planted all these fruitless fruit plum trees. And when I came back after I got out of the Army, they were covered with plums. So somebody screwed up somewhere. So
we hope not.
Okay.
Oh, what a, yeah. I never thought of that.
Approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting from 3/22/16.
So moved.
Mr. Crawford moves to. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. And minutes from the special board meeting of 4/19/16.
So moved.
And Mr. Crawford moves to accept the board minutes. Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And that brings us to the consent agenda. Oh, I've got a resident. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Before you move to the consent agenda, I would like to make note that on the technology department, item number 2, the AT&T contract was emailed to everyone on the 25th of this month, and a hard copy should be right at your seat for you to look at. Thank you.
It seemed like it was 100 pages when we looked at it on the internet.
It was.
Okay. if there's no one to speak on this item, is there a motion to approve?
I want to pull a couple of items.
Oh, good.
Mr. Boone, what was the second one you wanted for? Number one?
First poll is first page.
Yeah.
Town business services?
Maintenance.
Okay, aside from educational services, number one, and maintenance operations, number one, is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Now let's go back to educational services, number one. Mr. Boone.
The only question I have on this first one, we're on educational services number one, we're spending about $1,200 a teacher for this. And I was just wondering, you know, last year I think it was Mr. Rasmussen pointed out like $120,000, this year $60,000. How's this working out? And do we feel like we're getting, I mean, we're spending a lot of money. Do we feel like that we're getting the bang for our dollar doing this?
This is, continues to be a very popular course that they take. It is, last year it was hosted at Ellis School, where Mr. Greger helped to oversee the program. There are specific days of training, and then they also have to come back for an additional time period to actually practice in the classroom with students where they're observed. So it is a chunk of time for teachers during the summer, and we are limiting it this year to the first 50 who apply. We anticipate there'll be a lot more that will want to participate, but we'll keep moving it out year after year. They are strategies that teachers use every single day in the classroom with our EL students. It is funded out of our Title III budget, which is earmarked for English language development opportunities.
Okay, thank you. I move to approve Education Services number one.
Okay, it's been moved to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Mr. Fleury? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, moving on to maintenance operations and transportation. Number one.
On this item, it looks like that we're contracting out to do the pull-out bleachers in the gym's cafeteria areas. And how do we address the bleachers in, like, the stadiums, baseball fields? I know that a child fell through a bleacher in the baseball fields at the JV field at Marysville the other day. Is this addressed through maintenance also, Travis, or?
Good evening. So with the bleachers inspections and things like that, we go through and we kind of do visual inspections as we see boards and things like that that need addressed, things to that degree. We try to make the repairs as necessary. When we get to the automated bleachers, the ones that pull in and out, those things need to be inspected. It's building code that we have somebody that's certified to look at those things, basically give the seal approval that they are functioning, pulleys, mechanisms, everything's great. So we don't have anybody on our staff that is certified to certify that the bleachers are safe. So as an annual thing, it used to be biannually. So once every 2 years, you'd have to go through and get the inspections. The new code requirements say that we state that we have to do it once a year now. But when we go through, we do visual inspections and make the repairs as necessary. This company comes through, and they will be inspecting them, certifying them, and they will make the repairs if there's any with the any type of mechanical malfunctions.
Yeah, but this is a little bit off of the subject of mechanical ones. I'm not so worried about those, but what about the stationary bleachers that are being in use right now that we're having issues with, and there's boards breaking and children falling through them? When do we inspect those and repair those?
You know, really, we're at the liberty of when somebody calls in a work order, when somebody brings it to our attention. Technically, a lot of those things, I think, kind of go to the wayside, but we're now in the process of making these annual inspections. And as we create our preventative maintenance, scheduled maintenance routines to go through and look at these things, it's definitely something we're addressing. As Mr. Carrion pointed out earlier, he even found some bleachers that were broken. That we already have the part repaired, sitting in the shop, ready to be painted and installed first thing tomorrow morning. So as we go through and we're fine-tuning our maintenance department and really getting them up to speed on what preventative maintenance is and going through and creating these routines, we'll be sure to include those in our rounds. So again, it's kind of at the discretion of coaches, our staff, students to really let us be aware, because obviously we can't be in all places all at once. So, but it is definitely something we've put on the schedule to inspect.
One additional item on the outdoor bleachers. We have an insurance representative that comes through yearly, and they'll look at different items at schools. One of the common things they do check is the outdoor bleachers. So we get a big list that's sent to maintenance, and some of that's dispersed to the site and or custodial, depending on what the item is. So there is an inspection yearly done by insurance on the outdoor bleachers.
Right.
My question is, they're coming through and doing inspections and the repairs if necessary.
Yes, within certain parameters, they will make the repairs. So if it's a pulley, something to that effect, welding, we've already made some. I guess previous to me taking over in my position, I guess there was already a list of repairs that were supposed to be conducted previously that are still not they've never gone anywhere. So in the report from I think about a year or two ago that I found. My predecessor had logged that the repairs need to be made, but then repairs were never made. So in this contract, these repairs are called out if you were to look at them, and they will be taken care of this go-round as well. So you won't see next year, you probably won't see the price of this inspection go as high. It'll be a little bit lower, but it's going to include certain repairs.
Well, what would it cost to have one or two of our guys certified to go out and do these inspections?
That's something I can look into and find out if it's, say, if it's just a...
If it's cost-effective, yeah, but $9,000, I mean,
Right.
That seems like a lot, and then it really isn't a lot for having somebody go to all these places and look.
Yeah, we want to keep in mind as well when we're doing these things, right. It's like an elevator inspector. There's right. certain things where we have liability that we right. kind of don't want to take on this liability. If somebody else is certifying and we say, okay, this bleacher failed and the whole thing collapsed yeah. and kids came crashing down, we can say, well,
right.
we have this company who's certified saying they're doing it and they're okay. insured to take care of it. So
you used an elevator? That was a good analogy. Yeah.
I don't want to.
Thank you.
Right. So, and really to go back, we're going to make sure as we're going through with our preventative maintenance, even though it's annual inspections that we're mandated to do, we're definitely making our rounds out there to log, you know, at least, you know, monthly or every, you know, once every 2 months to go out there and have a visual on these bleachers.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion on to accept the item number one, maintenance operations?
Yeah. Motion to approve.
Okay. Mr. Boone moves to approve. Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. That brings us to new business. Somewhere here. Okay, educational services number one. We're to hold a public hearing on the K-8 English language arts adoption. Would anybody care to come and speak to this item?
It's open. Come on.
I will say that I am very pleased with the process. It was a long process bringing forward the state approved list of English language arts materials. The state of California approves K-8 materials, not 9-12. So the K-6 adoption moved through the process with representatives from school sites and grade levels, and they piloted, they really tore the programs apart, looked at all of the components, and I was there for their final meeting when they decided that the program tonight that is listed in your agenda by McGraw-Hill called Wonders, and it is actually programs 2 and 4, not number 5, so that's a change, was wholeheartedly and unanimously approved, saying this is the program that we believe will make the biggest difference with our students. The program 2 and 4 that's listed here are ancillary programs that we will be using with our RSP and our SDC students. So it is a TK through 6th grade program with special ELD materials for our English language development students, our special and our special education students. So we're very pleased to bring this forward to you. We're ready once the board hopefully approves this order so that we can get it processed and in the hands of our teachers as quickly as possible.
It's been moved to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Now we need a motion to approve the instructional materials.
Move to approve.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Personnel services number one. Classified particular kinds of services to be eliminated, something we do pretty much every year.
Yes, thank you and good evening, and you hit it right. It is something that happens every year, good, bad, or indifferent. And by the way, this isn't an action or a resolution requested district level. It really is a product of site funds and the uncertainty of certain positions being funded bite site dollars, and the possibility that some of those dollars might be repurposed for other services that the sites find more appealing and or more, frankly, needed by the site to serve kids and families. So to that end, we ask the board to consider this particular resolution to eliminate particular kinds of service for next year. We will consider, of course, all the bumping processes that are in place and required by contract and by statute, and have considered and asked that you're aware that we have considered any retirements or attrition that will retain people in their positions. There will be bumping, and in all likelihood, there will be reinstatement of positions as site councils and school leaders determine the use of those sources. So we recommend that you approve it as it is so that we can notify the affected employees and hopefully at some point during the end of the summer reinstate them.
Okay, any other comments? Is there a motion to approve? Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danable?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. And that brings us to item one, business services. Resolution 2015-1623, Uniform Public Construction Cost Accounting Procedures for Public Works Projects.
Okay.
Ryan?
This item is an available law under public contract code that allows us, by taking certain provisions and compliance with the state, to adjust our bid limits on public works projects. Currently, the public works projects under $15,000 do not have to go out to public bid. Anything $15,000 or above does go to public bid. And school districts are in a unique position where the way that we account for things and our accounting code structure allows us this option to us as a public entity. And as long as we do the certain compliance issues, such as publish the opportunity for firms to, with certain submittals, to get on a vendor list so that they qualify for what they call CUPCA is the acronym, as well as sending in this resolution and getting verified by the state, we're allowed to up the public bid limits and actually adopt a new process too for informal bids. So as you see, the ranges are on there effectively that $15,000 becomes up to $45,000, then the $45,000 up to $175,000, you do an informal process, which still requires a bid packet and some posting of it, but it's limited to those vendors that are on that list, and then anything above 175 becomes a public bid as we know it. This is going to allow us, we have a lot of projects that range between up to 175 that don't, it would expedite it, and we believe we'll be able to get a lot more done for our students. So a lot of school districts use this accounting method. So it was used prior to prior district I worked at, so it seemed to get things done in a very expedient fashion. We want to bring it to the school district again. We will comply with all forms of the public contract code, and we've consulted legal on every parameter of this, and we'll continue to do so as we implement it.
Ryan, does this change? I mean, it seems to me we had a $15,000 limit on certain projects before, so this negates that? And
It doesn't negate that. What it does is if we comply with this, it changes that. Effectively, your bid limit turns to 45. And then between 45 and 175, you have an additional process of an informal bid, and then you go out to public, what you'd say, the full public contract bid at 175.
Okay. Any other questions?
I move to approve.
Mr. Crawford moves to accept the resolution.
Yes, sir.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Okay, item two, resolution 2016-1524. We're opening a public hearing. Would anybody like to speak on the adoption of development fees?
As I say, it was an interesting reading.
One of the things that I'm always interested in things that are going to cost more in building. Since it's ultimately going to be passed on to the person who's buying the house. And we may only be going up 12 cents on this particular item, but I've got a hunch that other places it'll be more. And when you're talking about square feet, if you get up to 2,500 square feet, now you're talking some difference in dollars. I'm just thinking in terms of the public, you know, it doesn't seem like we have that many people building new houses in our economy right now. And it's just a maybe a few dollars more, a few hundred dollars more, but it does make it, it will make a difference.
Yeah, as some of the board members know that have been here in the years, every 2 years we go out to look at readjust our developer rates, and especially for districts that are experiencing growth, and we do have some projected growth from our demographic study, as you may recall. These rates every 2 years are adjusted by a market index, and it's for the state. So you're allowed to charge up to certain rates based on your demographic situation in your district. So this is something that goes in every district, and we just follow standard form and update it every 2 years. Sometimes districts elect not to update it because they're not experiencing growth. However, we're in a situation where we have experienced growth this year and anticipate into the future.
Ryan, does this go into effect July 1st or upon passing the motion tonight?
Upon passing.
Okay. Any other discussion? Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Close public hearing.
Oh, to close the public hearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. I'm really not in that big a hurry to get out of here, really, but okay, all those in favor? Aye. Carries? Any nays? Okay. And now we need a yes, motion to approve the resolution 2015-16-24. Is there a motion?
Approving the study.
Approving the study. Mr. Daniel moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Jim. Okay. Mr. Fleury. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. I think we should stay a little longer.
Yes, no. We are.
Okay. Motion to approve the resolution. Okay. Is there a motion on the floor?
Move to approve.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Daniel seconds. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Okay.
That's all right.